Welcome to the Keys of the Kingdom with Brother Gregory of His Holy Church.
Well, welcome to Keys of the Kingdom. I'm Brother Gregory, and we're going to be talking about the Kingdom of God again, and we're going to be talking about Folkhemmet specifically, which is a Swedish term for the people's home. And it's a great sell factor because it talks about, like, this is your idea to have a whole nation. We're going to live together as if we all are going to have the sharing of our household, so that we'll protect one another by sharing of our household. And so that if something happens and family is decimated, you won't be just left out in the cold to freeze to death in the Swedish winters, because we have Folkhemmet. We will take care of one another. Well, of course, the Swedes were already doing that. They'd been doing that for hundreds of years, because if they hadn't been doing it in some of those severe winters that took place over those hundreds and hundreds of years, they would have all died out. Because, I mean, the people were starving in France because their crops didn't grow during the winter, because of some of the winters that took place there because of those volcanic explosions. Today, by the way, is the anniversary of the explosion at Mount Vesuvius that destroyed Pompeii. And so you think of a volcano exploding, and the greatest danger and threat to life is lava and hot gases. And of course, if it's near your city, it certainly is. But the reality is that in the past history of this planet, one of the greatest devastators of life by volcanic eruption has been the subsequent winter that followed. Because sometimes, year after year, there was huge snowfalls, long winters, almost no summer, because of the ash and smoke clouds that went up thousands of feet into the upper atmosphere, shielding the earth from sun activity, and thereby causing extreme winter conditions. And if you already live in the north with a short growing season, and it becomes even shorter, starvation may take place, and you'll be eating wolf meat before the winter is out. But anyway, so they survived in these northern climates in Finland and Sweden and Norway, because it snowed and there was a winter and life was difficult and food got scarce, and they survived in those places because people took care of one another. Honest people shared with other honest people. They weren't going to share with a thief and a scoundrel and a bum and a lazy individual. They would starve. Why should I feed this lazy fellow? This, you know, in the story of the grasshopper and the ants, in the real story, not in the cartoon, not in the Walt Disney cartoon, but in the real story, the ants ate the grasshopper. That's what happened. He didn't store up food. He didn't prepare for winter. He just fiddled away, you know. Of course, these are fables, but the message was that if you fiddle away your time, if you're lazy, if you're pathetically apathetic, you aren't going to get fed by the industrious, especially in hard times. They might help you out when times are good, but when times are bad, you're off the dole, because they have to make sure their family survives, their industrious, hardworking children and grandsons and granddaughters survive. They're going to help them. Right now in America, you can go live on the streets rather easily, especially if you're a young person. Of course, now you can get a lot of sympathy. These guys stand on street corners and say, you know, and I've talked about those conversations with some of them. They said, well, we choose not to work. This is our lifestyle. Well, I choose not to give to you because you choose not to work. But some people will still, you know, they got plenty of money and it'll make them feel good. I helped out a poor person today. I gave him $10 on the corner. What you helped out is a lazy person continue to be lazy. Why don't you just go buy him drugs? You know, I mean, if you, you know, you could do that, you know, just hand out drugs. Here, go get high. But during hard times, not going to be so thrifty with those guys. Not going to be so helpful with those guys. And but there's so much plenty in America. You can get away with that now. But in Sweden and Norway, during these really wintry, short growing season years, those that were not industrious, not thrifty, not honest, not smart enough to prepare for winter or come up with solutions for the shortage of food, they died out. And so what was left was the virtuous members of that culture. But now you can be lazy and do pretty good in some of these countries. And it's altering the consciousness of these countries. And we're going to talk in the next show about exactly how that alters your conscience. But in this show, we're continuing off from where we left off. We talk about the last quote we had from this article about Sweden. Does the Swedish nanny state only work in Sweden? And Charlemagne had wrote, the country is probably also one of the least democratic and most politically corrupt countries in the Western world. In recent years, the spotless, clean, stainless steel and glass cities of Sweden have been slowly transforming into shabby, crime-ridden, third-world hellholes surrounded by ghettos where the police, fire brigade, and ambulance services dare not go except in force. Now, that was somebody else writing that and saying that that is what they see in Sweden. And I can't argue with it. I haven't been to Sweden. But that, it was their impression. Now, that's not exactly what you would want to see in a travel brochure, but that was in an article on a website called Gates of Vienna. And it was written back in 2010 in September. And it was entitled The Totalitarian Sweden. And we have links to it on our webpage on Folkemit. And so you can go and look that up and see where Bogeyman wrote that article. He talks about Sweden has been a byword for the modern liberal and progressive countries since the middle of the last century. The Swedish model welfare state set a glowing example for the rest of Europe to emulate. But behind the facade of this idyllic Scandinavian nation lurks a dark past and the promise of a very bleak future indeed. And that's what he was seeing. And these are people that live over in those countries. That's their impression. If you look up Folkhemmet in your Wikipedia, it will talk about it being the people's home. It's a political concept that played an important role in the history of the Swedish social democracy and the Swedish welfare state. Now, just to get the record straight, social democracy, the Social Democratic Party, that's what the Nazis were. They were social democrats. And it led to Nazis. And that's why back in the 1930s, the Swedish were neutral. They saw the the basic idea of social democracy is not a bad thing. I mean, basically, social democracy, or the Democratic Party, is talking about we should all take care of one another. And the Swedish hear that, and they say, yeah, we should do that. That's a good idea. You know, if someone needs help, we should help them. Right. That's a great idea. And everybody in the country should have that idea. But everybody in the country should be the enforcers of that idea for themselves. And what's happening is Sweden is getting away from that live and let live virtue and moving into you gotta help me live whether you like to or not. Even if I'm not always honest, if I'm not always industrious, you know, these virtues that were listed off in the last show, you still have to supply me with a living, a comfortable living, a practical living, where I am taken care of. Now, most of the Swedish would be industrious anyway because that was their tradition. But nothing is in their society to the extent that it was when there were the really hard times to promote that. They don't have to walk to work. They don't have to make decisions as to who to help and who not to help. Government does that. You see, that decision to say, I'm not helping you out, you're a lazy bum. Remember what we talked about at the very beginning of the last show? It is my job to rebuke those that I love. That's what the Bible says. Remember the book that tells you the way? As many as I love, I also rebuke. And I say, you're lazy. You need to fast. I'm not going to give you food today. Unless I see you working, I'm not going to help you out. Because you can work. You're capable. You may not be able to split railroad ties, but you can knit. You can do something. You can babysit for your neighbor. You can help do something. But no, there is no unemployment. You know, one of the things that I write about, the Teuton culture, which was the up in Germany, in the northern areas of Germany, they had winter. It snowed there, too. And when the Italians went up there and looked at it and saw their culture, they were surprised at how hard these Teutons worked. There was no unemployment. Rome at that time was racked with unemployment. Of course, Rome had instituted its own Volksgemeinschaft, its own social welfare state. Sometimes half of Rome were receiving funds through their dole, their system of dole. I just read an article the other day about somebody in part of Great Britain, anyway, and he had like 26 children by 15 different women. And he was getting over $50,000 a year in government benefits and didn't work. And of course, now he's older. He had at least 7 of his children still living with him. Of course, that means bigger checks. And he was putting in for more money because they had failed to find him a home of sufficient size to give him. And he figures that that's just owed him. Now, I could guarantee you that his promiscuous lifestyle, and another thing, a survey a couple of years ago on this same fellow went and checked out where all of his children were. They were all receiving welfare. All of his children were receiving welfare to one degree or another. That's the society. Now, that's the extreme. But society doesn't just operate on the extreme. It operates, most of the people are not in the extreme. But all of society, it becomes like a current. And I remember when we talked originally in this series, we talked about environments. There's the physical environment, the intellectual environment, and there is this peculiar spiritual environment. These other realms, the quantum realms, the other dimensions of the string theory that scientists say is all around us. in which entities can actually exist unseen by us. Scientists saying this. Atheists are saying this. It's right there. All around us. And that's part of our realm too. And in those realms there are spiritual currents. Just as there is a collective consciousness. The, you know, mass hysteria. It's been a phenomenon for years where mass hysteria can actually begin to affect people who don't even know what's going on outside when there's this, you know, hysteria in the streets and calamity. You know, they have suspected that people are affected by that because subconsciously they're hearing the tumult of the crowd outside and this is affecting them within their home. They don't have a conscious awareness of it, but subconsciously they're being affected. But I say there is an actual energy flowing in society. And I'm going to touch on this just briefly here. We'll talk about it more in the next show. But when you go away from society, people like to go up in the hills, out in the country, out on an island, you know, out in the desert. They feel their spirit rejuvenated. They feel that they're alive more. What's happening? You see, when they're in the city, in the congestion of their town or their city or their community, they are caught up in the current of their society. The emotional, spiritual, psychological current of their society, the collective consciousness of their society. And it is actually draining them and bringing them down. Because in their hearts, they want to be attached to something that actually gives life. That's the tree of life. And when they go out in the country and step out of that geographical current that's within the community in the congested city, they feel rejuvenated because they're actually already tapped into the tree of life. And it rejuvenates them. It energizes them. When they go back into society, back into the congestion of the city, they begin to become drained again. And we have psychological walls that we put up to protect us from being drained. But even those walls take energy. But when you go out in the country, you're rejuvenated. I know other people go out in the country and they're drained. They don't like it in the country. They want to be in the crowd. Those are psychic vampires. Those people are sucking the energy out of all the other people around them. And that's why they need to be around those other people. They need that to feel rejuvenated. But the one who goes out in the country, away from everybody, and he's rejuvenated, he's one of the people that they're sucking the life out of when he's in the city. Now, there's all kinds of little tricks to not having the life sucked out of you. And one of them is to go back and become that industrious, virtuous, honest man of integrity. They need you to play the game that they are playing in order to devour you, to suck the life out of you. They need you to be like them, to get you on their menu. That's the way it works. So the real wall that you want to put up is the wall of Christ, the character of Christ. The more you walk in his ways of giving and forgiving, the more you are removed from the menu of the psychic vampires of society. They always tell you vampires, you have to put garlic on. You show them a crucifix, you throw holy water on them, and it's supposed to keep them away. Well, in principle, the psychic vampires can't go near Christ. They actually will go to the far corner of the room when somebody with the Spirit of Christ enters in. I've seen this. Now, you probably don't believe that. It probably sounds like, oh, that's superstition or what have you. But that's actually the case. you'll see them. I should go on tour again, but I'm so busy. Why am I so busy? Because all of you out there aren't doing what you're supposed to be doing. That makes more work for us. Laborers are few. Laborers are very few. As seeking the kingdom of God. People think seeking the kingdom of God, I'll read my Bible a little bit today. And that's seeking the kingdom of God. No. Seeking the kingdom of God is going into the dark recesses of your own heart and letting God's light shine in there so you can see what a wicked, evil person you've been and repent. Turn around and start walking in the ways of Christ in every aspect of your life. That's what you need to do. But of course, you don't need to do that if your country has a lot of folkhemmet, because they will make you comfortable. They will make you feel okay. They will provide for you in your sloth. Now, you'll have to pay tribute. But if you get like that guy with the 26 children by 15 different wives, he doesn't pay anything. He's one of those socialist vampires who's just sucking the life out of all the people who do go to work every day and do stay married to one woman and do try to raise their children. They're the ones that are going to be paying the taxes so that he can sit around and fornicate with as many women as he possibly can get into his boudoir, which is provided to him by the state. He will live the life of Jabba the Hutt. And you will pay for it. But see, if there was a hard winter, if the checks stopped coming, he's going to die. Most of his children will die. Some of them might repent and start getting industrious. Suddenly, all of a sudden now they can work. Because nobody's going to feed them. You think that doesn't change society? Now, I'm interested in your spiritual welfare. Because I know that if your spirit repents and seeks the kingdom of God and His righteousness, your physical body will follow that spirit. The spirit leadeth the way. Now, I don't want to destroy the social welfare systems of society. I don't want to destroy the democratic socialist governments of the world. They're there to punish the wicked. And that man who's receiving all those benefits, he's being punished. He doesn't know it. It feels good right now. But he is going deeper and deeper into the pit. You're being punished because you have to finance him. And so they're going to take and take and take and take and take from you until you cry out. But crying out is not just complaining about the society which you have created for yourselves. It's by becoming and altering the way in which you live. Live as if the state did not exist. Start taking care of one another. Now, most people aren't going to want to do that. So that's why we created the Living Network, so that you would gather together. We got 85, 86 people on the Oregon group. How many of them have formed a congregation of record? How many of them are seeking to serve one another and help one another? On the New York group, we've got, you know, on the way to 100 people there. How many of them are actually working daily to form a network based on virtue, free will offerings, industry, integrity, honesty, trust, live and let live? How many of them are doing that? How many of them are working daily to consolidate the families, help the families survive? Because the families are where society is born. So the singles should help the families until they have families of their own. How many are doing that? How many are sacrificing of themselves daily to find all the lost sheep out there who would live according to the ways of Christ if someone were to show them? Create the opportunity for them to live that way. The opportunity is coming. You will call it disaster. You will call it cataclysm. You will call it destruction. You're hoping to be raptured off the planet so that you don't have to face that. Wishful thinking. The thing is, your imagination is going to come headlong at full rate of speed into reality. And you're going to find out, whoa, was I wrong? You need to repent and seek the kingdom of God and His ways. The kingdom of God is at hand. It has been at hand. It is a way in which you will move back to the direction where you will be ruled by God and know what God wants for you to do because you'll be following the Holy Spirit on a day-to-day basis. You will sense the place to be because God will show you, reveal it to you in your heart, but not unless you start walking in the ways of God. That's repenting, turning around, going back the other way. Phokemet, on the surface, sounds like, you know, take care of one another. But what are you really doing? You're empowering kings to rule over you. That's why he's saying that Sweden is the least democratic. And we'll talk more about that when we return to the keys of the kingdom of heaven.
My name is Mark and I'm from Melbourne in Australia, and I'm a minister in the church established by Jesus Christ more than 2,000 years ago. After reading the books published at hishollychurch.org, I realised that mainstream Christianity had taken a wrong turn by forgetting what Jesus said to do, to practice pure religion while remaining unspotted from the world. What does this mean and how is this done exactly? You'll find out when you go to hishollychurch.org and discover what it truly means to love God and your neighbour as much as yourself. Join the Living Network at hishollychurch.org.
Have you ever looked at the things happening in the world today and felt that something just wasn't right, but couldn't put your finger on it? Have you ever heard the phrase, "God bless America," and wondered to yourself, does he really? Or have you ever looked at the government's policies on things such as abortion or same-sex marriage and asked yourself, how could they? Or where are all the Christians voicing their outrage? These are hard questions that many people today ask themselves. But along with those hard questions come some very hard answers. Answers that you may never heard before, but nonetheless will answer these and other questions you may have. So if you're looking for answers, join us at hisholychurch.org. It's not what you might think, and it will open the heart and mind to a whole other world that you never even knew existed. It did for me and many others. I know it will for you as well. So join us as we seek the kingdom of God and His righteousness at hisholychurch.org.
The Creator is the God of the living, not the God of the dead. His kingdom was, is, and will be forever on earth as it is in heaven. Start by connecting and finding other kingdom-seeking families on the His Holy Church Living Network. Visit www.hisholychurch.org to start your journey back to your unalienable birthright.
I'm Brother Justice, and I'm a minister of His Holy Church of Sacramento, California. His Holy Church is a powerful weapon in the hands of God. The books, The Covenants of the Gods, and Thy Kingdom Come has changed the course of my life forever. For those of you who are truly looking for the way, I encourage you to look to His Holy Church at www.hisholychurch.org. May the good Lord bless you and keep you.
Hi, I'm Brent. I'm a contact minister for the Living Network in Northeast Missouri. You're not the only one out there with the desire to learn the truth. There are people all over the world coming together in faith, hope, and charity. Join us at one of the upcoming gatherings to meet new people, fellowship, work, and play. Whether it's the Fall Burning Bush Festival in Oregon or the Spring Gathering in Northeast Missouri, you'll get all the details when you join the Living Network. Go to hisholychurch.org and click on the network link. Find out what you've been missing. You'll be glad you did.
Welcome back to Keys of the Kingdom. We're talking about this Folkhemmet, the Swedish idea of socialism, and it was introduced probably as early as about 1928, but it was an ideology generally considered to be a compromise between the Soviet Marxism, Leninism, and Western ideologies. I don't know what they think Western ideologies are, but Sweden would be considered in Norway and Denmark and France and all these countries at one time were the depositories of Western ideology. But then we crossed the Atlantic. My own parents were from, my mother was from Norwegian extract. My grandfather came from Norway, escaping the draft in Norway. And I have uncles who married Swedish ladies. And so we're Norwegian and Swedish in that part of my mother's family. And on my father's side, we were Irish and German and English. And we came over a lot earlier, all the way back in the 1600s. Some of our relatives were already here, becoming Americanized by the presence of wilderness and Indians and all sorts of influences upon our environment that was changing us. We came to America to change it, and we're changed by that experience. And if you alter the experience of society, you will alter society. If you alter the parameters in which a child grows up, you will alter the nature of that society in which he becomes. I went through a big long story about a child who was brought over from, I think it was Bulgaria or Romania, was an orphan and put into a crib when he was a small child. His mother had given him up, and he was simply raised with another child in a crib. Very little attention. No father, no mother, and he was deprived of that nurturing aspect that cultivates our nature from the very beginning. As we talked about in the earlier show, about the child making these circles out away from his father and coming back and being reaffirmed, this is my father, this is my home base, this is my foundation, this is my giant who protects me and provides for me. And I will grow up someday and become like him. This child had no nurturing qualities in his life and in his environment. He was simply with another child, and we don't even know the history of that, but it warped his perception of the reality as he grew. This is one of the things about putting your children on drugs, mind-altering drugs like Ritalin and Prozac, etc., is that they are not allowed to develop in an environment based upon their particular physical and mental capacity. They don't learn how to deal with their active imagination because they're drugged during those developing years. Nothing could be more damaging to your child than to put him on these drugs. And far, far too many children are put on these drugs during their development years. We know that even if your mother just drinks alcohol while she's pregnant, this is going to affect you. If you start drinking alcohol as a small child, that's going to affect you. As a teenager, it's going to heavily affect you. But yet they put children on these experimental Ritalin and Prozac and other Luxol and other drugs, and then every single child that's out there killing children in these shootouts, almost every single one of them, I don't know one from my own memory and examination that had not been put on these drugs. Yet when I was a kid, we had just as many children that had attention deficit disorders, etc., and all these other emotional problems. I could go down and buy ammunition when I was a kid from the local hardware store and ride back with my rifle on the handlebars of my bike. And that's how readily accessible firearms were to kids back then. Yet we didn't have school shootings. Why are we having them now? What is the new factor? Drugs. Not illegal drugs. Legally prescribed drugs. It is a multi-billion dollar industry. Drugging our children when they should be developing and learning how to deal with their active minds. Because I was one of those children that would have been put on Ritalin. A lot of great achievers, authors, artists, would have been put on these drugs had they been available when they were growing up. We are decimating our society, the future of our society, with these drugs. Folkemet is a drug. This socialist welfare state is a drug. It promotes apathy. It allows for apathy. It allows for sloth. Now, yes, it was a mix, so it will take longer. And it was a mix amongst the people that had ingrained in themselves by the nature of their environment for centuries the virtues necessary for a successful society. So its demise is coming nonetheless, but the decay will be slower. But then again, we're talking about something that started in 1930. It's had coming on close to a century to develop. And you heard the words that people were saying, what it has cost, what it has brought about. The Hansen introduced this concept back in 1928, saying that Sweden should become more like a good home. This being marked by equality and mutual understanding. Well, of course, they already had equality and mutual understanding. Hansen advocated that traditional class society should be replaced by the people's home, Folkhemmet. Well, class society, what is class society? You know, these are the honest people. These are the dishonest people. These are the lazy people. These are the industrious people. That's the foundation of class society. Now, I'm not saying that class society does not create injustice. Because if you become arrogant about your industry and refuse to help people who are industrious but are on the lower rungs of society, you will cause a rift in society that will cost you in the long run as a society. And it will corrupt your society in another way. And of course, that is diametrically opposed to the way of Christ. Christ, God, the Bible says, too much who is given, much is expected to be returned. In other words, those who are very successful in society, much is expected of them. They should tax themselves. They should bless society. Someone asks, what is tithing? Tithing is taxes that you impose upon yourself. All other taxes are imposed upon you by somebody else. Tithing is a tax you impose upon yourself. You choose who you're going to give to, what minister you're going to give to, and you give to those that are actually serving society, being the welfare of society, in the Corban of Christ. And the rich should give to the ministers who are actually strengthening society. In the Folkhemmet of Sweden and all other social democracies, they want to tax the rich, and we've talked about this before. They were going to increase the tax upon the rich in England. And they voted on it, and they voted to increase this taxes. And they implemented it. And so all the rich were now going to help pay for the poor, and the poor were all for this. Except for when you actually did your homework, you found out the rich paid less taxes after they implemented this new tax on the rich. Why? They simply reorganize the way in which they receive their money. That's what teams of lawyers are about, and accountants. And so they, you know, in order to defend themselves against the forced contributions of a separate class society that is supposedly classless because the government's going to straighten everything out and remove class from society, they actually overprotected themselves and ended up paying less taxes with the new tax on the rich. The same thing's going to happen in all other countries. It always does. You cannot legislate virtue. Virtue is its own reward. It is the horse that drives society. If you don't depend on virtue but want to depend on force, which is what Folkhemmet is, you're giving the right to decide who to help and when to help and how much to help to the government. Now you're not a government of the people. You're a government of the government. The government of the bureaucracy. Because they're going to decide. You're giving them the power to choose for you. And so you're still going to have a class society. You don't think you have a class society in China? Absolutely. Go to China. Bright city streets and tall buildings and immaculate. But now go 2 blocks off the main drag. And people are defecating in the streets. And they are poor in abject poverty. Class society. You can't legislate away selfishness, arrogance. You know what legislates away selfishness and arrogance? Hard times. Hard times. And they're coming. And you will all get to learn the lessons of reality. But it would be better if you started learning them now. These states will crumble and fall as sure as the Roman Empire crumbled and fell, as sure as the Ur collapsed, as sure as Babylon decayed into the ground, as sure as Egypt blew away in the sands. It will crumble and fall. You need to live as if the state did not exist. You need to become the people's home, where each individual home has the right to decide for themselves who they will help and who they will not help. If you don't have that, you cannot develop the trust and integrity of society. It will not be exercised, and it will atrophy in your culture. And you will divide yourselves away. I remember the film on one of the YouTube. Some boy who showed up at a bus stop without a coat. And this was all intentional. And it was freezing cold. Ice everywhere, you know. Everybody had a big coat on. But this boy didn't have a coat. And he was shivering. People were taking off their coats and putting on the kid. And what I was amazed at is everybody was taking off their coat and underneath. They had short sleeve shirts on most of the time. Out here in Summer Lake, we have layers. You put a sweater on and another coat on that because the temperatures may range from 70 degrees in the daytime to below freezing at night. And so, you know, now you need all these layers and now you need no layers. So everything is in layers. We don't just have one coat. In these northern climes, when it's cold, and it's cold everywhere till you get into the house and you take off your coat. But the environment changes the way in which we deal with environment. But they still had in them, this is a small child they wanted. They didn't want to see him, and they were willing to suffer the cold and give him their coat. But this was a contrived event. In Sweden and Norway and these places, this is the way it was every year, all the time, for hundreds of years. It's not that way anymore. Somebody's hungry, you send them to the welfare office. Somebody needs a place to live, you send them to the government. They don't go to their neighbor. They don't have to forgive their neighbor. They don't have to get along with their neighbor. Then you hear about people collecting thousands, tens of thousands of dollars. People receiving money for dead relatives. Still getting a check and their relatives are dead. And they're, you know, it's instant deposit and they're just taking the money out and living on that. And the welfare fraud. Because the bureaucracy cannot handle it. They cannot do a good job. And it eats away at society. It isn't the dollar cost. Yeah, every one of these systems are bankrupt. Every single one of these systems, there is no free education. Everybody who goes to public school is dependent upon the government driving your children farther into debt because none of these countries have balanced their budget. That is not a part of the plan. The plan is to make you subject. So the basis of this fulcrum, this vision, is that the entire society ought to be like a small family where everybody contributes. But that's what society used to be like in Sweden. Before this, everybody survived because everybody helped one another. They took care of their own self. They tried to do it on their own. But they didn't lose sight of society. They needed society. When they had to go out and hunt, and game was scarce, they went out and hunted in teams because teams had more success. And they shared what they got. If they didn't, somebody could come along and invade them in the summertime because their allies, their neighbors, their community was decimated by the hunger. They had to help everybody survive so that when they needed help, that is living by faith, hope, and charity. That's what the Bible talks about. That's the way of Christ. But folkemet is not faith, hope, and charity. It's force, control, and entitlements. It changes the nature of society. People say, oh, I don't want to read the Bible. You know, that's just, that was your answer. It's there. Now, if you went to your regular churches, like in America, I'm more familiar with them. I don't know what they have for churches in Sweden and Norway and these other countries. But in America, I think Norway actually has a state religion. I think it's Lutheran or something. I could be wrong. Methodist, maybe. Doesn't matter. None of them are doing what Christ said. Wouldn't be a socialist nation if they were. But in America, you go into the churches today, and if you need help, if you need food, clothing, they might help you, but usually only in the case of disaster and extreme cases. Mostly they're going to send you to the government, and the government is going to collect from your neighbor. That is the Corban of the Pharisees that made the word of God to none effect. Corban of Christ is by faith, hope, and charity. Why? Because it cultivates virtue. The socialist state cultivates force and sloth and bondage. And what should have been for your welfare has become a snare. And you are snared mostly because you can't survive without it. But you can start to learn to survive without it. And again, I write on the page, the problem arises when the power of choice that once belonged to the individual is now held by the collective or by their elected rulers. They're not just leaders, they're rulers. They tell you where to go. And we'll talk more about that in The Sleeping Mouse, which will be the third part of this series. But without the daily exercise of choice, the individual looks to the state rather than neighbor, corrupting the bonds and relationships that once held society together. And the Swedish people did not even, I'm sure some of them did, but as a whole, they bought into this idea because they only heard the surface. We're all going to help take care of one another. They said, sure, great idea. I thought we were doing that already. They didn't mention the factor, but we're going to do it by force. Now, we're going to let you elect the officials you want. But slowly, as the demographics of society began to change, and now they're changing even more, they're bringing in the tired and poor and huddled masses of Europe and Eastern Europe into Sweden. And people are objecting to this. Some are. And then they're saying, oh, you're racist. But they're objecting to this. But what's the real motivation behind bringing them? Well, these people are poor. They're going to have to borrow money. They're going to do menial jobs. They're going to work for less. And the bankers are going to get richer, and the big corporations are going to get richer. But they're bringing in another element into their society. Now, I'm all for immigration and bringing people in, and I don't care about nationality. But if you're bringing them into a welfare state, they are not coming to serve as much as to be served. Now, they may be industrious to some degree, but they're coming to a welfare state. If there was no welfare state, many of those people would not come. They would not come to Sweden. And there would be a natural filter. You know, everybody wants to block the borders of America along the Mexican border. You know, build a wall and stop them from coming in. Too late, already been invaded by a spirit of welfare and socialism. You see, that spirit will eat away and destroy. You've already got the disease. The cure is Christ. You've already become greedy and wantonness for your neighbor's goods. You've already coveted your neighbor's goods through the system of social welfare that forces the contributions of the people to take care of its needy in impure religion. You've already got that. Your churches are just there to make you feel good about the fact that you're sinning every day with your impure religion. What's pure religion? Taking care of the needy, unspotted by the organized system of constitutional orders and governments of the world that force the contributions of the people. What James is saying when he's defining pure religion is live as if the state did not exist, because the word world there specifically means constitutional order and system of government according to theirs. It is the meaning of the Greek word. It comes from the word chemizo, which means to take care of. You're going to take care of the needy of your congregations through faith, hope, and charity. You don't even know how to walk in that way. You have to start somewhere. And that means gather together, join the Living Network. Become a part of a society that is going to try to live as if the state did not exist. We're not going to disobey. We may have to pay our tally of bricks, but we're going to start taking care of one another through faith, hope, and charity. Something you haven't done for years. You need to get your aerobic spiritual breath back by exercising the way of Christ on a day-to-day basis. And until then, may peace be upon your house, and may God be with you. Till next time on Keys to the Kingdom. God bless.
You have been listening to The Keys of the Kingdom with Brother Gregory of His Holy Church. For more information on the educational ministry provided by His Holy Church and Brother Gregory, including services, counseling, lectures, books, and other audio materials, please write to His Church at Summer Lake, Box 10, Summer Lake, Oregon, 97640. You can also find us on the web at www.hisholychurch.net.